The topic that I'm going to talk about today, the scripture says, God loves it when you get happy about it. Did you know that? When you get happy about this topic, the Bible says God loves it. He loves it. So just turn to the person next to you and give a huge grin, okay? Just, if you've got teeth, show all of them, okay? Just, because how many know it's contagious, right? It's just difficult to see somebody smile and not smile back. But here's the thing, is this thing about cheerful about this topic can be a barometer or a measurement on your spiritual maturity. And see, if you've known the Lord for a long time, I think many of us would think, oh, yeah, I'm spiritually mature because I have gone to church for years. I know Bible stories. I can quote scripture. And that is not necessarily a measurement of spiritual maturity. Because you can know things. How many are parents, right? Your kids can know stuff, but not do the stuff. Anybody with me? Right? And that's not mature, right? It's not mature to know you should not be crawling on the floor of this restaurant right now and me having to chase you around the table. You know, you should know better than that. And this topic can help us to know. So I just want you to maybe take inventory today and just say, how mature am I when it comes to this, when it comes to what God says I ought to be happy about? Now, to set this up, again, those of you who are parents, and I hope you were at the parenting seminar that we just held. We did that for you, okay, because you guys said you needed help. And so we said, hey, here's a way that we can provide help. And so I hope that helped you. But how many know as a parent, especially when it comes to Christmas time or maybe birthdays or different things, have you ever done this? Given your kid money to buy something for you. You know, and it's like you could just go get it. You know, you could buy two of them if you wanted to. But you give them money and let them go and you let them get the gift and all. And why do you do that? Because you want them to experience the joy of giving. Right? And they don't have the means otherwise, but you give them the means so that they can experience the joy of giving. No, you know their joy level will go up. And it's in this regard that God gives to us, okay, as his children. He could do it himself, but he puts within us the ability to give so that we can experience the joy that comes with giving, and the joy with making a difference. Because I don't know about you, but it makes me feel good that we make a difference. We CFAM, we Crossroads Church, make a difference from Avon to Africa. That's awesome to feel that way. And on December the 8th, we'll kick off this season of extended and over-the-top extravagant generosity for the purpose of touching our world that's described in this brochure today. And so as I talk about this topic, though, here's what I know, and I just feel like there's people like this, and I'm like this, that you get excited and scared at the same time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you're like, oh, make a difference. Oh my goodness. God, what would you have me to give? What can I do? And then you feel like God puts a number on your heart and you're like, whoa, that was bigger than I was expecting, you know? Or maybe God's told you to go do something, you know, to go share your faith with somebody. And you're like, I've been praying for this, and now it's here. And you're excited, but you're scared. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so as we approach this topic, I want you to know that there's excitement when you look through this brochure and you see these projects and you think about touching people that you'll never meet until you get to heaven. There's a tension, though, that comes with it that you think, well, what about the economy? What about prices? What about job insecurity? What about if this happens or that happens? And what if? And here's what I've come to. I think God likes it when we're there. Okay, I think God likes it when we're excited and scared at the same time. I think he likes it when Craig lives there. Okay, and I think the same thing about you. I think he wants us in a spot where we feel dependent on him, where we feel like, I can't do this without your help, Lord. I need you. I'm trying to hear from you, and if that's you, God, then you'll make a way, just like we sang. You'll make a way even where there seems to be no way. That the waves will part if they need to in order for you to provide. And so today I want to start off with a question, and they're going to put this on the screen. And here's the question. God, based on everything you've given us, here's what we're going to ask. What would you have us do this year to build your kingdom, not just mine? What if we all ask this question prayerfully for the next several weeks and we just went to the Lord and we said, God, based on everything you've given us, what would you have us do this year to build your kingdom and not ours? And to really ask this question, I think we need to understand where it all comes from anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, and also the earth, by the way, and all that is in it. See, we have to get the first part first. We have to understand that it's not really my house because it's sitting on God's earth. The real estate, the everything, every element, every particle was created by him and purposed for him. And so I'm just passing through. I'm just having this for the meantime. And in the meantime, God wants me to use it for his glory. And if we don't get this, if we think it's ours, then we'll miss out on the legacy that God wants us to leave. The impact that he wants us to have, the purpose for which he's called us to live. And so to set this up, I want us to look at the book of Luke. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of Luke. Luke wrote a lot of the teachings of Jesus. And many of the teachings of Jesus, and a lot of you know this, were in parables or they were stories. They were illustrative stories. And I would say a great study, if you just want to, if you say, well, I'd like to study the Bible for myself. Well, just study all the teachings of Jesus. Just all the parables of Jesus. You can even buy a book that just has all the parables of Jesus and breaks it down. And here's why Jesus would teach these stories, so they would stick. So when we read this story today, Jesus' purpose, not just my purpose, but Jesus' story in or purpose in you hearing the story that he told is that it would stick with you, that it would make an impact, that you wouldn't soon forget it. It wouldn't just be, well, point one, point two, point three, but you would actually, it would stick into your heart and life. So with that in mind, let's look at this story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12, okay? Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading in verse 13 because this is a setup for the story. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, my brother, I tell him to divide the inheritance with me. You need to tell him." And notice the topic is money. Isn't that a lot of times a topic that comes up? And so they're talking about money. And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, so now he's going to tell a story in light of what just happened. He says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Oh, that's what we were just talking about. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable, the ground of a certain man, rich man. It yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store," and notice this, "my crops. They're mine." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, and how many know it's more important what God says, right? Not what you say or somebody else says or whatever. It's not important what somebody said about you on X or Facebook or wherever. Here's what God said about this guy. "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." He says, there's two ways that you can live your life, and you need to make sure of the right way. Talking about the right thing, there was an Olympian, Matt Emmons, in 2004 at the Olympics, and in the 500-meter rifle engagement, he was so far ahead that all Matt needed to do was hit the target. He didn't have to have a bullseye, although he almost always hit dead center. But he had hit it so many times that he had such a lead on the next that he was almost guaranteed gold medal again. And he gets up, aims, sees the target, zeroes in on the bullseye, and pulls the trigger perfectly center of the bullseye. And he looks up to see his score, and it's zero. And he thought, something's wrong. And he looked at the judge, like, what happened? Was there a malfunction? What happened? And the judge explained, you hit the wrong target. That was in the lane next to you. You so quickly took aim, you aimed at the wrong one. And yes, you had a bullseye, but it was at the wrong target. And with that, the gold medal went away. And here's what Jesus is saying. There are two targets in life. One target is you can be rich toward me, like this guy in the story. I'll just build bigger barns. I'll just store even more. Or Jesus concludes his story by saying there's another option. There's another target. You can be rich towards God. Rich towards God. Now, I hope everybody here sees the wisdom in which target you're aimed at. So here's what I want to do for the next few moments. I want to go through this story again, and I want us to see how to get rich towards God. How can we make a difference with our lives? Because I think everybody here wants to make a difference with their life. I think everybody here wants to know that when you stand before God, you want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, right? You long to hear that. So here's some things that will help us to be able to become rich towards God. Maybe you need to write this down. The first one is you need to aim at something that matters. You need to aim at something that matters. You need to aim at the right target. You know, Jesus says to this guy, hey, you hit a target. You were good at shooting. You hit the target, but you hit the wrong target. You were aiming at the wrong thing. You spent your life trying to be rich toward yourself instead of being rich towards God. And I don't think this gets any more highlighted than at a funeral. This week, we'll be hosting a funeral on Thursday for Eloise Wilkin, and this will be one of those kinds of funerals where there'll be a lot of things positive that can be said. And, you know, but I've been to funerals. I've actually even had to conduct funerals where there wasn't that much. And it's awkward, and it's uncomfortable, because you're saying to the family, hey, are there some stories of how they impacted your life? Are there some stories that you're just like, oh, I'm going to miss them so much because of the impact they have made on me day after day? And the family just looks at you. And they're searching. And then what you don't want to hear is, well, he had a big boat. Or, wow, did you know his house, it was custom, and he did a lot of the work on it. And he had a great car. Or she, you know, she was so good at keeping accounts. They had a lot of money in the bank. No, what you want is stories where they took it out of the bank and they gave it to somebody in need, right? Hello? And what you want is stories of where, you know, the person said, oh, I want to make a difference. And so instead of chasing after the dollar, they served in a lesser paying role so that they could make a bigger difference with their life. Those are the stories that you want to hear. And when you have those kinds of stories, then it's a celebration, isn't it? It's a celebration. It's a commemoration of that person's life. And David, in the Old Testament, this Old Testament king, he missed some things, okay? If you know his life story, he wasn't perfect. But he also hit some things. And especially at the end of his life, he was thinking about, how can I do a legacy gift to where the impact of King David's life, okay, I'm a king and everything, but you know, there are kings that you don't even remember their names. You don't even remember when they ruled or even what country they ruled from. There are so many things. Because how many, you don't even know who won the Super Bowl last year, right? You're like, no, I think, but. And who got MVP and all. And so life just goes on. And David said, I don't want my life just to pass and not really make a difference. And so he said, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a house for the Lord. And God said, hey, I love your heart, but here's what's going to happen. Your son's going to build it. So David's like, okay, if I can't build it, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it easier for the next generation to be able to fulfill their purpose on the earth by doing all I can in this generation so that they will be set up for what God has for them. And so he began to have an offering given, and he led the way, and he saw the target. Matter of fact, let me just read it to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in the Old Testament. It says, but who am I? Now he gets this Deuteronomy principle. Who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give so generously as this? How can we give? You know, it's like miracle offering time. Who are we that we can give thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars? Everything comes from you. Oh, he's got the right perspective. And we have given only what comes from your hand. You're the Father, and we wouldn't even have it if you didn't give it to us. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on the earth are like a shadow without hope. He says, I understand that I'm not going to live forever. That eternity is a long, long time. And so I've got that perspective. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it, everybody say all. All of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. And all these things I have given willingly and with an honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people, he says, it's spreading. It's not just me. All the people are getting into it. And they've given to you, Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. And keep their hearts loyal to you. David knew where it starts. It starts in the heart, right? You gotta have a heart to give. And when your heart is stirred, then all of a sudden you say, you know what? I wouldn't even have this if it weren't for God. I wouldn't have this. So, and really, I'm not even giving what's mine. He gave it to me, and now I'm going to give it, and then I get the joy of giving it, just like your kids. And the guy that Jesus talked about, he says, he died, and nobody cared But David died, and everybody cared. And not only did they care, but his life lived on, because we even still sing songs that he wrote. Did you know that? A lot of the Psalms are where our songs come from that people sing in churches all over the world. And it's the difference between living for today and living for eternity, for a legacy. D.L. Moody said it like this: our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. He says, what is bad is when you hit the wrong target. And you think, well, I got a bullseye, but you were aiming at the wrong target. Here's the second thing, is give something that costs you. You know, going above and beyond. You know, demonstrating true generosity, true giving. Because David, again, in another story, he wants to give a sacrifice of celebration to God. And this guy tells him, hey, you can have my property and just do a sacrifice right here. And David says, no, I need to pay for it, because I should do that. And the guy says, no, I insist. You should just take it. You're the king. And here's what David says in 1 Chronicles 21, 24. King David replied to this guy, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that cost me nothing. He says, I can't do this. I can't give something that doesn't cost me. Because what is that? You know, if I don't give something that costs me, then it's not really a sacrifice to the Lord. So, and again, in this topic that we're talking about today, it's not what you have. That's not what's important. It's trusting God with what you have. So whether that's $100 or $1 million, it's trusting him with what you have. It's never about the amount, because all of us are at different levels, aren't we? We're all at different levels, and so we can't compare ourselves to other people. It's never about the amount, because Jesus is never impressed with the hunk that is dropped in, but he is excited about the heart behind the gift. See, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus was watching the offering. How many know that's intimidating? And he's watching the offering, watching people give, and there were some people who were very proud to give their offering. They wanted everybody to know just how much, and so they gave a hunk. But then Jesus draws attention to this one lady who put in two little coins. And somebody not too long ago gave me a replica of what maybe was like the size coin that she gave. And so she gave two of these. They're about the size of a dime. And when she gave those, Jesus says, hold the fort. Well, he didn't say that. He said something like, I want you to know that she just outgave everybody else. And they're like, did you see the hunk that some of these other people gave? We heard it hit the pot. It was loud when they threw it in. Some of them kind of slung it in so we'd know, you know, that they gave it. And Jesus says, no, they gave the hunk, but she gave out her heart. Her heart was in it, because she gave everything that she had. Now, how many know to do that, you're trusting God? You better be trusting God with it. It cost her, but she was excited and maybe scared at the same time. And I just want you to know today, while I was talking to Matt, our kids pastor this week, I was getting caught up on things with the church and all while I've been gone. I was talking about what I was going to be talking about this Sunday. And I said, you know, what's it like with the kids, you know, in the kids' church? And he said that a lot of them, they all know what BGMC is. And it's the Boys and Girls Missionary Council. It's the offering that our kids give to the same kind of efforts that we give to here in adult church. And he said this. He said a lot of them say this. They say, I'm so glad my giving saves lives across the world. I love that. I think we ought to be a little bit more like kids' church, where we say, I'm so glad that it's time for the miracle offering again. Wow, that year went fast. Now we get to do it again and maybe do more than we've ever done before. And so, God, what would you have me to do with what you've given to me? And so I want to close today with giving you some thoughts to think about over these next few weeks. And even as we go into a new year soon, in just a matter of weeks, think about these. And I want to help you with this because I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't help you to grow in this area. Because this is the heart of God. Do you know that? That God so loved the world that he gave. And so if we have the heart of God, we do the same. So there's four stages of giving. Maybe you need to write these down or just find yourself in them. There's occasionally giving. Occasionally giving. And this one is a lot, we see it a lot on TV, or maybe it interrupts your feed on your phone. And it's the song with the lost dogs, you know, and things like that. And the children that are not gonna be fed and the different things. And I'm not saying there aren't situations like that. I'm just saying they know what's going on. Because in many of our hearts, we're occasional givers. And what we have to have, or what triggers us to give, is an emotional response. And when we see it, or when we hear it, then we give. And I want you to know today, that's the base giving. That's like base giving. You have to have a song playing and dogs or children or something to get you to give. Do you see that? So that's the occasional giver. But then there's another level, and that's consistently giving. And that, there are many people like that here at Crossroads, okay, where you consistently give. You have decided, I want to be a consistent part of this. I don't want to just participate once a year. I don't want to just participate when there's something talked about. I want to participate every week because something's going on all the time. And God's been good to me every week of my life. Can I get a good amen on that? All right. So I want to show God that I trust him every week. And so you consistently give. But then there's a higher level of giving that the Bible talks about, and it's a tithing level. And there's confusion on this because some people say, well, I tithe, but 2% of your total income is not a tithe, okay? The Bible says that a tithe is 10% because the word tithe actually means tenth. So you can't tithe unless you just gave 10%. So that's where that comes in. So when people talk about tithing, and that's kind of a church word, that when they talk about tithing, they're talking about 10%. And that's the goal of baseline giving as a follower of God. Okay? That Jesus said, you ought to tithe. You can look it up. And so when we give that, we're saying, Lord, I trust you. And think about it. All we're trusting him with is 10%. We get the other 90. So it's not like bragging. It's not like, wow, you know. But in our culture, it is a wow. And it is a thing. And I get it if you've never been taught that. Now, fortunately for me, I grew up learning about that. And it was easier for me because I just didn't know any better. Okay? I just did it. But there's a higher level of giving than even that. And it's excelling at giving. And Paul talked about it. Churches that excel in giving. That there's people that excel at giving. And these are people who are legacy-minded. These are people who maybe you would say, and we would think, well, they've got a gift of giving. Because, I mean, they'll just give. Paul even talked about one church. He says they gave even beyond what they could give. I don't know how they did it, but they gave beyond what I would feel they were even able to give. And how that came about, how they were able to do it, I don't know. I've seen people do that in our miracle offering. Give an offering that they didn't even think they could give, but then God made a way. And God provided. And so here's two challenges that I want to leave you with. And the first is just ask the question, God, based on everything you've given us, what would you have me to give that would build your kingdom and not just mine? Because see, a lot of us, we're thinking about, well, what am I going to do for Christmas? What am I going to do? You know, what are we going to do for this new year? And where are we going to go? And what are we going to add on? And what are we going to, you know, we make our plans for that. What about our plans for generosity? And then here's the second thing, is in those levels of giving, I want to challenge you as your pastor to take a step up. So in other words, if you're an occasional giver and like this time of the year, you get a brochure and you look at some faces and on, you see some videos and you think, well, I'll give. You know, I want to encourage you to become consistent at giving. And maybe 10% sounds big. And so just start somewhere, 2%, 3%, 4%, whatever. And then maybe every year, just work at increasing that to a higher percentage. Until you get to 10%. But would you just pray about taking one step forward? And here's the last thing I want to leave you with today, is watch God do something. When you begin to give, watch God begin to work. Look at in verse 21, he said to this guy, what you should have become is rich toward God. Because when you get rich toward God, God gets involved. Does that make sense? When you, it's about your kingdom, then it's about what you can do. But when you give to his kingdom, now it becomes what he can do. And I want to say that this is not, if you give in this offering, you're going to get a new house, okay? A new car, or you'll never be sick, or whatever. I want to assure you there are many life situations that you can look around at and see that that is not the case, and you can see that in the scriptures as well. There are people in the Bible who were very faithful to God and suffered a lot. So I am not saying that, but what I am saying is God does get involved in your life in a supernatural way. In a blessing kind of way. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and test me in this and see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there won't even be room enough to store it. God says, I'll bless you back. In Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. God says, if you'll bring me the first and not the leftovers, if you'll put me first in your life, then I'll get involved in your life. I was recently with my pastor, Tom Paino, and I grew up under, and be praying for him. He fell and broke a bone at 100 years old, but he is in therapy and kicking butt, all right? So he's amazing. So anyway, because I was there when he was doing therapy, and so he's doing it. But here's the story he told. He said there was an occasion decades ago where they had the opportunity to sell some of the land and buildings and business that the church had next door to them. And many on the board were saying, well, this is a God thing, because they're going to give us enough money to not only pay out of that, but to pay off the church and maybe even have some money in the bank. Now, that sounds like that could be a God thing. And so he was meeting with the board, and they invited a few guests in. And this guy, who my pastor says would come by, and he wasn't a believer, and he could cuss like a sailor, okay? And so he would come by, and he would write huge checks to the church. Checks sometimes that came because he did so well at the gambling table, okay? And so, but don't ask, don't tell, you know? And God can redeem it and whatever, right? And if somebody here won big this week, give big in the offering today, all right? And so he says he was having this meeting, and they were talking about it, and they just sell it, and then they wouldn't be doing this nursing home affiliation anymore, and it would be somebody else. And this guy, that guy, stood up in the meeting and says, Pastor, did God tell you to build that? And he says, well, I feel like he did. Then he says, isn't your God big enough to take care of it then? And he said, he fell on the spot. And he says, yes, he is. And he says, well then. And so they didn't sell it, and they went on, and God provided. And here's what I want to say today. Your God is big enough. I hope your God is big enough. I know my God is big enough. He's big enough to pay for this building, this land. He's big enough to pay for whatever he starts. Matter of fact, he's even promised what he starts, he will finish. So today, I want you to think about, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, I trust God with eternity. I believe when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. You're trusting him for that, but you can't trust him with this. You know, I'm just not sure I can trust the Lord with that. But you're trusting him that he's going to take your soul into heaven forever? I think if he's big enough to take care of your soul and ensure that it lives forever with him in eternity in heaven itself, he's big enough to pay any bill in any situation and circumstance that you can be in today. And I just say, I have witnessed it personally, and I have witnessed it through many of you, and I'll witness it again this year, in this end of the season, and in the next year as well. If Jesus tarries, we'll have more stories of what God can do. Come on, give him a praise today. God does something in us to do something through us. So whatever he's done in you, it's not just for you. Don't be like this guy that Jesus told this story about and thought it was all about him. No. No, it's all about God and what God wants to do. And when you live for God's purposes and fulfill his purposes, I'm telling you, there's a joy that the world cannot give. How many know what I'm talking about today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be rich towards you. We don't have to, in a world where it's easy to be rich towards us, we can shift as Christ followers and be rich towards God. God, help us to be that way. Help us to pray, and not just with words, but help us to really put our heart behind it. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And Lord, as that happens, I know your kingdom will be built like never before. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Craig, I want God's kingdom to come on this earth. I want us to see our church make a bigger difference in the world than we've ever made before. I want my life to make a difference. I want there to be plenty of people whenever my time is up and I'm ready for heaven, that there will be plenty of people that say, oh, what they did for me, how they touched me, the difference they made, the churches they built, the impact they had, this just all that they did. And I know heaven is recording all of those things. And you want that to happen for you. You want to know the joy of the Lord in a deeper measure through the power of generosity. If that's your prayer, would you just raise your hand all over this? Come on, church. Let's just pray this today. Lord, your kingdom come. Your kingdom, not our kingdom. Give us the courage to be like David and say, I may not even see this before I die. I may not even see everything that I'm giving toward. But I believe that the next generation will be impacted if I'll do something in my generation. And so, God, give us the courage to do that today. Maybe there's others of you that you need to accept God's incredible generosity on your behalf. And let me just take a moment and just say, here's God's incredible generosity. He gave his son for you. I mean, the Bible says that is love. Greater love no one has than this, than they would give their own life for you. And God loved you enough. He wants to forgive you so much. And I know some of you, maybe you've done some things that you think, could God even really forgive that? He can, because he sent his son to die for you. That's just how much he loves you. And he's just waiting for you to accept his forgiveness today, to accept an ability to go to a heaven that you don't deserve, because he bought your ticket. He paid the way so that you can have eternal life today. And you can have people say about you one day that they knew God, and I know where they are today. And if you're here this morning, you say, oh, if God can forgive me, if he can cleanse me, if he can wash me, if I could have a new start with God today, I know I need that in my heart, in my life today. Will you just raise a hand right now all over this room? Just raise it up. Say, yeah, Yeah, that's me. That's me. Yeah. Just raise it up online. Just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. But come on, church family, let's all pray this prayer so that those around us who lifted a hand will pray it as well. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid for all of my sin. So today I receive Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my life, wash away my past, and give me a new beginning. As much as I know how, I surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church family, let's celebrate those.